Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What time is it?
You're locked into the flagship, an Ole Miss podcast powered by College Corner.
Here we go.
One, two, three.
Get your daily Rebel sports fix at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com.
Welcome into Hit That Line, Week 9 edition. I'm your host, Zach Berry. This show, each and every week, brought to you by our good friends at Home Field Apparel. I'm recording this Wednesday evening with the fellas. They will be here shortly. By the time you listen to this, the campus pullovers will be out, and the Southern collection drops Thursday. Ole Miss has one. You got to get to homefieldapparel.com and snag one before they sell out. When you do, use promo code LASTDANCE24 for 15% off. Show is also brought to you by our good friends at College Corner. We're in the College Corner studio, three locations, Oxford, Ridgeland, Flowood. Go there. They got the new Galaxy Realtree gear. Get ready for Saturday's game against Oklahoma as Ole Miss will be unveiling the new helmet. You've got those three locations, and you can check them out online, collegecornerstore.com. Show brought to you by our good buddy Drew Moak and USA Benefits Group. It's Medicare enrollment season. If you're looking for a Medicare supplement plan or just a regular health insurance plan, give Drew a call, 601-953-8449, or you can check his website out, and that's quoteswithdrew.com. He's been at it 24/7, 365 last couple months. He's been working hard to make sure that his clients are in the best plans for them. Show is also brought to you by our good friends at Roback, roback.com. If you haven't heard, they will have Ole Miss polos for next football season. But if you want to go ahead and snag some merch now, roback.com and use promo code JUICE for 20% off. All right, let's go ahead and bring in the Legal Gambling Council as we've got full house tonight. Ben, Nick, and Austin. Week 9, Ole Miss, Oklahoma. Trying to get off the snide, get back in the win column. Get back to 500 in SEC play and make that march towards a college football playoff berth. Gentlemen, good evening. Welcome to week 9.
It's crazy that it's already week 9.
I don't want to talk about it.
The weirdest thing is it's week 9, but it feels like we could have like so much left of our season.
Yeah.
I'm not even talking playoff or anything. I'm just talking like, if we are going to make the playoff, if we're going to go 10-0, like a lot has to happen. But and I don't feel like a ton has happened already, other than some losses. But
yeah, potential to play what into middle late January?
Yeah, I mean potentially we could play until January 20th, 2 weeks before the Super Bowl. But even still, I mean, if we were going to win out, we're going to win, you know, five big games in the next 6 weeks.
Yeah. We were talking before we hit record, Austin, you said it's up to what, 20 and a half now?
Yeah, Ben said there was some steam. Opened at like 18, right?
Yep.
Got up to 20. Yeah. We may break over into 21 territory, which is obviously an extremely key number in college football in a low-scoring game. A game with a total of 49, 21 is
– that tells you all you need to know right there.
It's a lot of points.
So let's get into it. I listened to a good podcast earlier this week. Shout out to Jason Deloach. He is CFB Numbers on Twitter. Really good follow if you're into the analytics, you're into the advanced statistics. He does a lot of work with Pro Football Focus. He was on the Daily Journal's podcast this week talking about the Ole Miss offense. Pretty staggering numbers. We were talking about him in the group text this week. Just goes to show you, I feel like that's the answer when people are like, what's up with the offense? Like, that's it. Like, the offensive line has struggled the last three games, and just that is going to equate to Jackson Dart not having any time, Jackson Dart having to press. He has to run for his life most of the time. It's just affecting everything. But, fellas, this is get-right bounce-back time for Ole Miss. I mean, this is a floundering Oklahoma team that just got beat like a drum by South Carolina. You fire your OC. You promote the tight ends coach, Joe John Finley. Ole Miss fans might remember him. It looks like they're going to have another quarterback shakeup. Looks like Jackson Arnold's going to get the start. It's home game for Ole Miss. The weather should be nice. It should be a great crowd. I mean, this is the recipe for Ole Miss to get back on the right track, get back into the win column and feeling good, right?
I think so. Worth mentioning, Jackson Arnold burned his red shirt for this. Mm-hmm. I think that's insane. Like, in this era of player mobility and freedom, like, what are you doing?
Real quick, I'm glad you brought that up. Contrary to what Michael Van Buren's doing in Starkville, I thought for sure Jackson Arnold was redshirting and was going to transfer to Mississippi State. Because he's a athletic guy. That's why he went to Oklahoma.
Maybe he saw MVB Cook.
Could be that.
Arnold's a freshman.
Maybe transferring to the SIP at the end of the season.
Arnold?
Yeah. No, MVB.
MVB is a true freshman. Jackson, is he redshirt freshman? Or no, he's a true sophomore.
He played in a bowl game. His redshirt,
right?
I'm saying he could have sat this year and retained a redshirt, right. So he'd be a true sophomore, right?
He's a true sophomore. Played, okay.
I could use the internet here. Yeah,
true I guess sophomore. He played in their bowl game last year.
I guess my thinking is with him not worried about the redshirt is, like, when do you see kids start sitting out and retaining their year? It's when they're in like their last or second to last year of eligibility. This guy's, he's probably not thinking about, I want to make sure that I continue to have 3 years of eligibility left. That's my thought. Like the Sluka at fair. UNLV, he was a fifth year guy. So he was like, I'm going to shut it down so I can retain my last, I can go play somewhere. This guy's already at Oklahoma. So he's already in an SEC school. And he's probably thinking, oh, I'm going to play this year. I'll play next year and go to the league. He's not thinking about keeping that college football eligibility.
Yeah, I think you're looking at it more from an upside standpoint, though, where as I was focusing more on, like, risk. Like, what if you go out there and tear your ACL playing dog shit, you know, 4-8 team? What are you doing, you know?
Man, if you showed me a picture of Jackson Arnold, it would have taken me 100 guesses before I'd guess that he'd be a quarterback at Oklahoma. Like, he looks like
what he looks like. You know what he looks like.
What's that?
Oh, dude, that facial hair has got Oktibbeha County written all over
it. He really would, like, he would fit in.
He looks like a tackle that used to put on some weight that came from, like, Heritage Academy.
Jeez. Catching a spray.
Listen, he may be transferring to this. I will say this, he has a cannon. Now, his completion percentage in top 25 games is less than 50, but the dude can, like, flick it 70 yards.
He's very good. Yeah.
I'm going to pull it up here. I mean, the guy was 99 overall in high school.
He's legit.
National Gatorade Player of the Year.
He's like a corral arm.
Yep.
Yeah. Elite 11 Finals MVP, Under Armour All-American. I'm trying to find
the number. And he's battled Oklahoma. They've battled injuries at offensive line and, like, injuries to their top five wide receivers. So the dude's
If we lost that many receivers, we literally would run the wing T.
Yeah, right.
Like, we wouldn't play. It's not like we'd put Aiden Williams out there. We just wouldn't play people.
No, he wouldn't. Yeah, I mean, right.
So senior year, he threw for almost 3,500 yards, 33 touchdowns to just two picks. And he also ran for 921 yards and 24 touchdowns.
Jeez.
Yes.
And this is playing – this ain't Heritage Academy. Like, this is Geyer High School, like, big boy ball in Texas. So, like, he played against some legit teams. Hasn't had the help, but also struggled with speed of the game. I mean, you saw it in the bowl game last year. He started in that one, showed some signs of why he was a five-star, and then he also showed some signs of why he was a freshman at the time. This is not a recipe for Jackson Arnold to have a coming out party. Because look, say what you want about the Ole Miss offense, the Ole Miss defense, outside of two plays, the 4th and 7 against Kentucky and the overtime against LSU, the Ole Miss defense has just been absolute nails all year. And the front seven is not going to welcome him to Vaught Hemingway Stadium with open arms. It's going to be a brutal game for him to get the start.
Yeah. I mean, I think it goes a lot like the South Carolina game. That's sort of my prediction for game flow, how it plays out. Now, I think Oklahoma's offense is more capable than South Carolina's, probably. But what does that mean? Does that mean scoring 13 instead of 3 or whatever? Like, I can't imagine an explosive performance from their offense. I do think they'll have some wrinkles just with the new offensive coordinator and, you know, going back to the quarterback. But, I mean, would y'all be – I'd be really surprised if they got into the 20s.
Me really too. Surprised.
Yeah, yeah.
Be in a very bad way, similar to the Kentucky deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it would just be a very bad surprise if they scored 20. If they scored 20, I'm not here ready to say we're going to lose, but, like, that's a close game because I don't know that we're getting into the 30s.
I don't think so. Because their defense, we haven't talked about that yet. Their defense is really, really good. Mm-hmm. Really good.
I just you saw it in the Red River Rivalry game. The defense, Oklahoma's defense, just got worn down.
Yeah, the dam broke. Yeah,
it's on the field so long. Just they got some stops, but then it's just the offense doesn't do anything. I mean, that just mentally has to just crush you as a defense where it's like, oh, I got to go back out there. I mean, it's probably what the Ole Miss defense feels like sometimes.
I mean, similar to us, though, you have to wonder, have they lost the locker room yet? I mean, I do think that it's a little bit farther that direction for them in that you fire a coach in the middle of the season, like a coordinator, put yourself in the player's shoes. You show up to the facility and the guy who – likely recruited you is now no longer in the building. At that point, you've got offensive players on an already struggling offense messaging their handler or their agent, like, we need to be putting feelers out for the portal, right? Mm-hmm. And you have to think that that's going on right now in Oklahoma's IPF.
Yeah.
Especially with a quarterback controversy. I mean, nothing splits a locker room like that. Where a guy gets yanked and you put him back in. Like,
nothing.
That's a good point.
And especially when you're dealing with the when you got a guy like Jackson Arnold, who's been the best player he's ever met his whole life, now suddenly battling with someone else, I'm certain he's not pleasant to be around in the locker room.
Yeah.
Maybe he is. Maybe he's the best teammate in the world. I have a hard time believing. I've never met a super elite quarterback who did not believe that he should be the guy. I mean, we had that here. Chad Kelly was a great player, and Shea Patterson's dad acted like a complete, you know, like Shea's got to be in. And that's just it's not good for a locker room.
No.
Does Venables survive to next year? And if he does, does he survive 26?
Oh, Nick, you're saying no?
I don't. I mean, okay, maybe he does. I just, this seems like a team last week's game when they were down 35 to what, 3 at one point.
Mm-hmm. 32-3.
Yeah, 32-3. That's what it was. That seemed like a coach that's gone. I mean, they lost consecutive games by a score of 69-12. They've got us at Mizzou, a team that is definitely going to be playing for any sort of semblance of their, you know, playoff either way. Mm-hmm. Bama and LSU to end the season. Obviously, they've got Maine in there, so looking at their fifth win. But, I mean, they're getting trounced.
A lot of Mississippi State crossover already.
Yeah, that's right. Also, I did not realize this. Last week was their first quarterback to throw for over 200 yards in a game this season. Over 200. Matter of fact, it was the first time they had thrown for over 175 by one guy. So, that's unbelievable. They haven't had a 100-yard rusher this year.
But last week they still outgained South Carolina, even with that stat, though, right?
Is that right?
I think they did.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm telling you. Sellers at 100. Oh, gosh. I don't understand how South Carolina does these things. Like the whole Kentucky thing, they just dominated 35-9, had 254 yards. I know what it is. Oklahoma had four turnovers. They give the ball away a ton. I don't know. Maybe he is keeping his job. But I mean, they're 4-3 now, and they're finishing 5-7. So
I think he keeps it just to keep the recruiting class together, and then next year it's you got to get it done or you're out.
I'll tell you all this: if they somehow beat us Saturday, that might be. I'm not kidding you. That will be the first true Fire Lane Kiffin message board, but like one that somebody means to say.
It'll be, they'll be sincere. Hot. Yeah.
It'll be like, hot. All right, dude, we lost to Kentucky and Oklahoma with this team. Yeah. Guys, I don't know if y'all are watching, but like Walter Nolan's like the best defensive lineman in the country right now.
Yep.
And it's
him and Mason Graham.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got some guys who are really, really playing well on defense. Chris Paul.
Dottery.
Yeah. Yes.
All stuff, man.
Yes.
Jared Ivey. Mm-hmm. Yes. We'd be 1-3 in SEC play and wouldn't have played a real offense other than LSU.
Yeah, right. Dude, Perkins is playing like a 5-star football player.
Yeah, Perkins is playing really well.
Yeah. And you would think that if we were getting this type of production from our, like the past 2 or 3 years, we've just said if we could just stop people sometimes, we would go undefeated. And now we're stopping them all the time, and we can't put the ball in the end zone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's been my whole thing with the offense. You know, during the bye week, I told y'all I was going back and watching 2020, 2021 highlights of the offense just because it just looked completely different. It was innovative. There was, different coordinator.
Yeah, I was going to say, you want a theory about why that is?
Yeah, but also just like the body language of Kiffin back then and then last year versus now, like he does not look right. And I think it's just that nervous energy.
We just need to win. We need to go out and win a game.
Yeah, that's going to
fix. And then beat Arkansas. And then at that point, you've kind of got it. The swagger back.
You know what I'm saying? 7-2, you get a shot at Georgia at home. The Georgia team, look, they looked good the other night, but they also look bad in spots on offense.
And how many times can you get up like that? Like that was a game that Georgia, it was kind of like us. Now, they didn't blow them out like they did us last year. They could have at one point, but that they're only going to do that once more, and it's probably going to be against Tennessee at home. Which is the week after our game.
The following week, yeah. Oh, dude, Kirby was all over that being a 5-point dog at Austin. Oh, I mean, you know they had that. Oh, yeah. Like they were talking about that all week.
You know he saw game day when Saban picked Texas.
And he had the soundbite loaded for the post game. You know, everybody picked against us, including your network. I mean, he was ready for that.
And what a fucking cheese dick.
He's becoming very difficult to like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The biggest cornball in college.
Easy to hate.
Quick question. If let's say we win the next two games, let's say we win 24-7 on Saturday and we go up to Fayetteville and we win 24-17, right? Just very run of the mill. We didn't look great, but we did what we needed to. What's the line when Georgia comes in here?
Ole Miss -2.5.
There's no way Vegas is just laying themselves out there for that, right?
I don't think they fall for it. No, I'd probably say
Georgia like 7.5.
No, I'm saying Georgia 2.5 or 3.
Yeah, it's going to be 3 either way. Yeah,
3.5, 4 is what I would get. I go 3.5, 4.
If it's Georgia 7.5, I'm going to have to take the Rebels. And like,
if they give Ole Miss in the points, I'm not even taking the points. I just got to take the money line. I don't think there's any way after the way we've looked offensively when we played good teams. I don't think you could make us a favorite.
I think the true line should be like 9.5. I just don't think they're going to do that.
Yeah,
because from a motivational standpoint, I hope they make Georgia like a 9.5 point.
Me too.
Like Kirby didn't have that shit to sell in the locker room.
Oh, dude, if it's a pick 'em or something,
what was the line? Really by 1,000. What was the line in the 14 Bama game? The 14 game.
It was, I think it was 3 either way.
Yeah,
they ended up being 15.
We were favored when we went over there. We were laying 3 or 4, but here I couldn't remember.
I thought it was like 4.
We laid 3 points in 16.
Yes, I think that's right.
Yeah, I got murdered.
2014 Alabama 6-point favorite.
Hey, there's no way it closed 6. It may have opened 6, but
may have opened 6. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we took money all day that day, too. I remember watching it. You know, we steamed hard before the game.
I just
look, some of this depends on what Georgia does, too, before.
Sure, our game. Sure.
Like, how do they look?
Yeah, because Georgia's got
a bye in Florida.
They're not good on offense. Florida. That's why I think the line's going to be low, because our defense is going to keep us in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the problem is was downright bad on
offense. We're going to be playing field position game the whole day. Like, yeah. and I'll give our we hated on him early in the year. I'll give our punter credit; he's gotten better.
He's played very well. That's right. Yeah.
I mean, he's got a leg. That's the thing is,
yeah,
he boots at 65 yards when we're on the 35, and you don't need a 65 yarder. So we knew he had a leg. He has gotten situationally far better this year. Mm-hmm. If we're at the minus 45, now he's kicking it 50 yards like he needs to be.
It was a South Carolina game when that started. He started pinning them back, and I was like, he hadn't looked back. Mm-hmm. Like he's been good since.
Yeah. Situationally, he's been so much better.
Have you turned the page with him, Nick?
I think it was the South Carolina game. He did pretty well, I think, in the Kentucky game. He just had no feel for the game last year. It was like he was an Australian who had never seen football before and thought the goal was to get it into the end zone every time. The goal was to get it really close to the end zone. He figured that out.
He just had the shanks.
He did. Well, the shanks when he needed, when we were on the 20 and when we were at like near midfield, he just kicked the shit out of it.
He's like the guy.
He's figured it out.
He's like the guy that doesn't hit the range and then he just needs a couple holes to get going.
He did. That's all I needed. He's got the short game figured out. He's got the long
game. In fairness to him, in years past, we didn't punt a lot. So, we didn't get a lot of opportunities.
Yeah.
Now this year, different story.
I'll say this too. I've thought about this year. Up until now, we've really been the only team that regularly went for it on fourth down. Mm-hmm. And everyone else is starting to do that to our detriment.
And we kind of stopped. Not that he still but Kentucky. He slowed that down a good bit.
Yeah, hell, ESPN has the damn graphic now for like analytics. Go for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We were the only team doing that at that time. Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, or maybe one of three teams, nobody else in the conference, though. Maybe Tennessee, but we don't play them a lot. Mm-hmm. And now fourth down's killing us on defense. And I just think that offenses lock in more. I think it's a hard play to get off the field without fouling, without, you know, just the best way to do it. The best way to do it is to get to the quarterback, right? Like get to the quarterback before he gets rid of the ball. Mm-hmm. You know, cause some erratic throws, that sort of thing. You don't necessarily have to sack him, but
that was what Ole Miss did in the LSU game. Didn't sack Garrett Nussmeier, but affected him enough to where he was terrible. He completed like 43% of his passes.
Yeah,
that's fine.
SEC Player of the Week. 43%.
Wasn't he National Player of the Week?
That was ridiculous. That was such a joke. Like, the stats were awful. I know he made the one, you know, he had the couple big throws late, but I mean, for the game, he was terrible. And that's like, yeah, putting up sacks, you know, obviously perfect. If you can just disrupt and get a guy off platform and having to move, I mean, that's good too.
Which is why I don't think Arnold's going to have any success on Saturday, because like he didn't have wide receivers and he's also not going to have a ton of time. Like LSU had a couple good receivers still, good tight end.
Young dude like that, you speed the game up for him, it's recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're going to run on us either. Like nobody's run on us this year, so I don't.
No, we got Walter Nolan, him and JJ in there. You ain't going to do it, and even their backups are good.
Well, I was going to say, when Pegues gets tired, you're bringing in the damn vending machine, Xavier Harris. So, like,
Go ahead. No.
This is player rushes, but they have not, other than Arnold went for 97 yards as a rush against Tulane, they haven't had a guy go over 70 yards all year long rushing the ball.
Jeez.
Now, obviously, they could have five guys going for 65. I'm not seeing that. I'm just saying they're high rusher. Has not been against Tennessee. Hawkins ran for 22. He was the leading rusher against Tennessee. 22 yards. And I mean, they had 15 points that game.
Dude, we cannot let them get away with this on this podcast. Stop bringing it up. As bad as the Ole Miss offense has been, dude, Tennessee, I mean, they are on fumes offensively right now. Was it three games in a row have not scored in the first half?
That's a fraudulent football team. Well, they may make the playoff, and we may be too, but they're not what – like, they are getting so much unjustified love.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think that's only happened – the only other time it's happened in SEC history was, like, Mississippi State in 2003 or something like that. A team hasn't scored in three consecutive
– I think it was 2020.
Maybe it was 2020. Yeah. But I think it was MSU.
It was State. I saw that. Yeah. I saw it.
I mean, that's too like Ole Miss. Like that Tennessee offense has a ton of talent.
The last time Nico threw for 200 yards was September 7th.
NC State.
Yeah.
But hey, going 1-1.
He will. I know
he's just a freshman, but like, dude. People have got to pump the brakes on that. Like,
he's taking a lot of sacks too.
Yeah, I mean Tennessee's offensive line, a lot of similarities with Ole Miss there.
So what are we going to do? What are we going to pick for this game? We got to get into this.
What's the total? 40.
You said 49. 49
seems high.
Does seem high.
All right. So
what's this line? 20 and a half.
Yeah,
I see a 20. I don't see the hook yet, but you may be able to find it.
I'm going Oklahoma in the under. I think it's going to be like 24-10.
20 and a half at FanDuel. Yeah.
BetMGM has 20 and a half. FanDuel, Bally.
But we can get 20. I'm not locking it in, but go ahead, Tech.
I'm going to jump in here. In honor of home field, sending me the VIP box. I'm wearing the corduroy hat. For the first time this season on this show, I will be locking in Ole Miss. I will be laying the points. And Nick, I think that under is going to be in danger because you know if it is 34-10, 34-14, and Kiffin has a chance to score again, like this is a guy that's going to have to do this to get some goodwill back. I mean, people are angry. The offense has just been completely stagnant. It's not looks like the Ole Miss offense everybody expected. If he can put up numbers, he's going to do it. Like, I know last year in games where Ole Miss was in control, Kiffin was very chill. Like Arkansas, Auburn, Mississippi State, he did not push the envelope. Yeah. I think he's going to completely flip it this week.
Dude, that's part of my theory about what's wrong with the offense currently. I think we got way too comfortable last year throwing it in cruise control without having that hard edge, that killer instinct. We were able to cruise against teams like you just mentioned, Arkansas, Auburn State. We were able to comfortably get up like 10 or whatever and then just suffocate them, right? Smother them and salt the game away. I think we fell in love with that style of play.
And then the defense got better. And he fell more in love with it.
And he fell more in love with it. And you can do that against Furman or whatever. Like, yes, we can still run it up against those teams. Sure.
Wake Forest.
But we tried to do that bullshit against Kentucky, and they were better at it than us. Because that, like, is the old Bane quote with Mark Stoops. Like, dude, he was raised.
Born in it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't wait to 1 second on the play clock. I was molded.
We'll do that, right? They'll oblige us.
You merely adopted shoe clock.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
So I think that's part of it. And again, we'll never be able to prove that one way or the other. So, I don't know if we can still run it up when he wants to. I don't know if we're capable of doing it. I really don't. And Oklahoma's got a really good defense.
Also, my worry about that number at 20 is, what's 20? It's two touchdowns, two field goals. And in a low-scoring game where we're going to, I think, stall out some in the red zone, field goals. I could see us, like, winning by 20 points. That's just like, if it was 19, I'd be like, yeah, take it.
Yeah.
20 or 20 and a half, it's tough because I foresee two or three field goals Saturday.
And just to clarify, I will take the 20 because there are 20s out there. I will not take 20 and a half. I'm not going to screw myself with that. But
so this, they're thinking that the final is 35 to 14.
Yeah,
is what that math.
Yeah. Something around there.
Yep.
That's where I think it's. I think we're sitting there with 2 minutes left.
And I don't know
that they're scoring 14 either. No, you know what I'm saying? I know we're not breaking 40.
But 14 is more likely than us breaking 30.
I agree.
I think so. Completely. I think so.
Yeah.
But let's say it's 35-10.
This game finals 28-17.
Yep. It may be closer. It may be sweatier than that. It may be like 24-17.
Yeah, I agree.
24-18.
Eight? If they score three times on us, I'll be disappointed. I'll just say
four.
And let me rephrase it. Unless it's two field goals. If they score north of 14 points on us, like
three offensive points. Right.
Total. If we shouldn't be turning the ball over against this team. They turn it all over so much. And I think they're negative five differential.
I'll say this too. You're back home after the bye. Good weather. Only second time ever playing this team. You know that Kiffin is going to be dialed in. But also, outside of the Kentucky game this year, Ole Miss has been really, really good at Vaught Hemingway under Lane Kiffin. And you've had a couple hiccups, but he has won the games that he is supposed to win at home. And I think this is where Kiffin's going to try to flex a little bit. Like, hey, I'm still here. It's all good. We're gonna get it turned around.
I do like that this is the third game of a three-game, like a big three-game stretch of Texas, South Carolina, and us. Like, I like that aspect of it since we were the ones on the other end of this for 7 weeks, not getting a rest, getting a break. I do like that. Look, I don't hate it, Zach, because I think that, and I told y'all this maybe earlier this week, it may have been somebody else, I think we come out looking like a different team than we have. I do. I think that they're going to open it up more. I'm not saying that – I'm not giving that quote from 15 years ago. It's like, well, now we don't have to worry about being number four in the country anymore, whatever that was said, and now we can just focus on playing football. But I think everything's still in front of us that we want to do. I don't – be the 10-2 team that they leave out. Like, make that argument. You know, you can't – you're not going to get in at 9-3. So be the 10-2 team that they lose. I guess there is a 9-3 that could get in, but not losing at home to Kentucky. So I don't know that we get in at 9-3 this year with this schedule. But
bro, we'll be lucky if you're at top 15 at 9-3.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that I think we could come out looking like a new team. I think that we're going to have to see Bentley more. Jesus, like, put him in the game, man.
People are going to be – you want to talk about Texas students throwing shit on the field? People will be throwing shit at Lane Kiffin if Bentley's not playing on Saturday.
Yeah.
I hope Bentley is one of them throwing shit at Lane Kiffin if he's not playing on Saturday.
There's no way he's not playing.
And, I mean, let's all be real that – and I think we talked about this last week. That touchdown run he had against LSU, there's one guy on our team who makes that run. There, like, one guy.
Ben, there was one guy in the whole stadium that makes that run.
That's right.
In his
one guy in the building. And so why are we doing, like, that's no disrespect to other guys. They do things that are better than Bentley, but he's got to play. He's got to play. Yeah, Zach's over there going like, do they? No, probably not.
No, I'm with you. I'm like, which things? Playing against Furman better, I guess.
maybe that's our, you know, maybe that helps. Maybe I would like to see us throw shorter passes. I feel like our entire offense has been the 15 to 18, 15 to 30, 25 yard pass. And it's like, guys, they're sending 7 and 8 guys every play. Run a screen. I'm not talking about a screen to the running back. Just
throw behind the blitz. Throw a slant.
Throw a slant. And we were also better on offense, in my opinion, when Dart ran more. Now, I don't want him to get injured, but he ran more in the non-conference than he has now. Yeah. It certainly felt that way. And we're not doing that.
The drive at the end of the – that was mid-fourth quarter, I think, in LSU. I mean, he was running zone read, and LSU had no answer.
Well, and then we just stopped.
Yeah. It's like run it until they stop it. Like run exactly. It. That's always been Kiffin saying, we'll run the same play 10 times in a row if you're not going to stop it. That we've abandoned that. I'm not blaming the coaches.
Instead, we're going with run it if they stop it.
That's right. I'm not blaming the coaches on play calling necessarily, but I would like to see us not hold on to the ball in the pocket as long as we have been. And I don't know if that's by design or if that's Dart's decision making. What, I don't know if we have short passes out there. It seems like a lot of we have like two read plays where we look at Trey Harris, and if he's covered, we look at Juice Wells, and that's the play. Like, there is no Harris, Watkins, Wells, pre-scoring, right? Maybe I don't know what I'm seeing, but it certainly feels that way because most of our passes, like especially there late in the LSU game, we're throwing it 25 and 30 yards downfield. It felt like every other play. It's like, man, just work the ball down the field. Like, Trey Harris will get 9 yards if you throw it to him at the line of scrimmage. Like,
he's going to make it at some point.
I'd love to see Juice get involved in that kind of short game. Like, give it to him in the backfield if you have to get the ball in his hand. Like, just get the ball in his hands.
I was saying that last week. I was like, the 49ers use Deebo Samuel like that. They just get the ball. Like, do
great
that.
Comparison. Great comparison.
Like,
we used to give the ball at times. We would do the play action. Didn't we give the ball to the guy in motion? Do we do that anymore?
The pop pass.
We do that.
Elijah Moore all the time.
Elijah Moore.
How he had 16 touches a game.
Yeah.
He and Dontario Drummond.
Yeah. You gotta do some things that are an extension of the run game. Like a bubble screen. Like, do that. I mean,
tunnel screens. Quick. Just get the ball in Juice's hands. It doesn't have to be 40 yards downfield. Like, call something that gets 5 yards. Like, it's okay to get 5 yards. It's okay. Like,
and maybe we got so accustomed to being so successful at those plays because we did it so easily against Furman and Middle.
Wake Forest. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because they're always open against them.
I don't know. This just feels like a really, really, really good spot for Ole Miss. Like,
I think we win, and I think we win probably comfortably. I have no interest in laying 20.
What was our line against South Carolina? 10.5.
We got to 11 right before the game, didn't it?
Yeah.
So we've been double-digit favorites in 3 of 4 SEC games.
Yeah, we're 15.5 against Kentucky.
I'm gonna
take the under. I'm gonna lock in the under. It's 49. I think we are going in neutral. I think that Kiffin has learned his lesson potentially in a bigger game with a team with a better offense. I think he's gonna do the same dadgum thing against Oklahoma. Part of it, I think, it's gonna be Oklahoma's defense. It's gonna be not letting us, you know, keep the pedal to the metal. I think that we will throw it in neutral a little bit. And I think their offense is so bad and will do so little. I think that they're going to try and slow it down a little like Kentucky if they've given the opportunity. I just don't think they're going to be able to do much. They're not going to turn the ball over twice in the first 2 minutes like they did last week or give up 14 points, you know, in the first 90 seconds. And if that happens, then the game will go over. But I just don't anticipate that happening. I'm thinking something like 20-10, 20-7, 24-7, 24-10. I think it's going to be ugly and low scoring. I don't think they're scoring much. I mean, look at their last two games. They scored, what, 6-3?
They've not scored a touchdown. We still have only given up how many touchdowns this season? We have two losses.
Yeah.
Like not five. Many. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And like you said, they're off the back of you know, they got smoked against Texas on semi on the road. They were at home last week, then played a South Carolina team that didn't have much offense, then lost by 26 points. And now they're back on the road again. Is it the week before a bye? I think that's right. So they're fixing to get a little time off. I think they're tired.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, going against the grain of what y'all are saying, I feel like, I mean, you talk about feet to the fire. I mean, Kiffin's feet are on the logs in the fire. Like, this offense has got to turn it around. And we talk about it all the time on the show with coaches that know that they can run it up and know that they can put up a number and make a statement. I think this is where Ole Miss does that. And look, it might take a little bit, but I do think they're going to get behind that defense. And you remember the bulletin board material in the summer that, what was it, Billy Bowman, the safety that was running his mouth about Jackson Dart. I mean, you know Dart's got that hanging in the back of the locker. So Ole Miss has heard about it all week about how just disappointment, failure, not going to live up to the hype. Blah. I mean, I think this is where this older team is going to, you know, hey, enough's enough. Let's get out here and do something. Maybe it's Inshallah. The corduroy hat. I don't know. I'm feeling, look,
the only way that it's going to, their ship's going to be righted is for that prophecy to come to fruition. Because otherwise, if let's say Ole Miss goes and loses to Oklahoma, I mean, do we have a certain win left on the schedule?
Yeah, it trains off the tracks if we lose Saturday.
Dude, we may not have a roster.
That's what I'm saying. Do we have a win left? Like, do we beat State at home? And here's why I say that. That game's not going to mean the same anymore. Like, most of these guys are rented – one-year dudes.
Yeah. I'll say that. I'll just go ahead and lock this one in. We're beating MSU. Even if we lose to Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Florida. I know that sounds crazy, but I've been going – went back and looked at their numbers this week because I heard all about how great their offense was and stuff. They trailed by three scores in three of their four SEC games. That's the Dan Mullen special of scoring with 2 minutes and 20 seconds to go to make every single game look better. They scored a touchdown in the last 4 minutes, I think of all four games they've played thus far in the SEC, they are like garbage time merchants. I think they're terrible. And I think their defense, like we're still going to have like guys like Jordan Watkins playing. I don't know about Juice Wells. I don't know about Trey Harris. I think Dart would still play. So I think you're going to have guys like Perkins and Piggies and stuff like that. I'm just going to lock that in.
Have you watched
State play? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I watched them against Florida and saw their off.
They were bad against Florida. They were bad against Georgia, and it ended up being close. I'll tell you where they're very, very bad at is tackling. Like, maybe the worst tackling team I have ever seen in the conference. And that's not saying it because it's them. They really made me. Like, we have been.
They're getting a lot of mileage out of
2011. They look like our 2011 defense. I'm not
kidding. Yeah, yeah. They're getting a lot of mileage out of playing Texas close the week before Texas played Red River again. And then they played Georgia the week before they played Texas. And again, I'm not saying that like discrediting them just because the other teams are overlooking them, but I just, you don't really get a lot from me by being down 17 points to Georgia in the fourth quarter. Like congrats about covering. That's great. You know,
also I'm with Nick here. I don't care what happens Saturday next weekend. Kiffin and Levy hate each other.
Yeah, I can't imagine there's.
So Kiffin's going to try to hang 80 on them if he can.
I think the bigger problem is next weekend in Fayetteville, by the way. It's just we'll get there. We'll cross that bridge.
I can't do that again.
Wait, what are you saying?
The bigger problem, it's 50% chance of rain in Fayetteville next weekend, and the high is 67.
Of course, it's going to be 47 degrees too.
We won't see the sun by the time we leave Oxford.
Dude, it's always like 58 degrees on Dixon, and then in that stadium, it's 42.
Yeah, it's like sleeting.
Yeah, I don't know. If Ulysses Bentley's toting the rock, fine.
If it's raining, I'm taking the Hogs.
Oh my gosh, minus pretty much anything at that point. I mean, minus 30, plus
we'll be 30 favored, to nothing. But yeah,
no, but I'm saying like if they were to give them 30, you give us 30, I still would. I'll never forget that.
I'll Yelp you some churches, Ben. All right, let's. So Nick's got a lock. I've got a lock. Let's jump into the card here. Austin, you said you hate it. I kind of was kind of vibing looking at it and feeling some games that I like. If anybody has one, jump in. If not, I can.
Yeah, I'm gonna lay 6.5 with Arkansas.
I was gonna say while we're cranking Hogs, let's go ahead and segue to that one.
A touchdown. I got to do it.
Didn't you say to me earlier this week this was the game MSU's gonna get?
This is the one they can get, but at under 6.5 or under 7, I can't pass this up.
6.5, yeah.
That's the key.
I promise you, go watch a state, like go watch the other team's highlights against State and watch them try to tackle. It is impressively bad. I bet yards after contact.
He played last week.
Outrageous.
Who?
Taylen Green, their quarterback.
Yeah. He played against LSU.
Okay.
And I think Mario Craver's out.
Yeah. Is it Craver or the other one? The kid from UTEP.
It's Craver's out. Craver's the one
who's out. Yeah, I mean, for a lot of the reasons Nick mentioned, this is just a different proposition. Like for the last 3 weeks, State has been dogs of 3 touchdowns or more against Texas, Georgia,
and Texas A&M. 33 twice.
All of which had a huge game on deck and were just trying to get in and get out of the State game. They had no interest or reason to blow State out. They still did in some cases. But asking State to cover this number is completely different than asking State to cover 20.5 against A&M. Arkansas cannot overlook State. They can't. Like, they gotta actually care and go win the game. By the way, State beat Arkansas last year in Fayetteville. So, like, Arkansas needs this one. This cannot be one where they roll the helmets out there.
And this is where like Sam Pittman's got some cachet back. Like he's building the brand up a little bit. He's earned some stripes. Sam Pittman cannot afford to lose this game.
I'll tell you, Arkansas's if he goes and really loses this one, if he loses this one, he's a loss to Ole Miss for maybe resigning midseason.
Mm. Yeah. And then it's Barry Odom o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Petrino interim until Odom gets there.
Also, looking at their schedule, by the way, if they want to bowl, they've got Louisiana Tech still left on the schedule, Mizzou, Texas, and us. So this is like –
they need some W's. Yeah.
Yeah, this is circling this one. And, I mean, they get Texas at home. They get us at home. But, you know, yeah, they need to stack them here. This would get them to 5, which would pretty much puts them in because they play Louisiana Tech. So,
And here's the other. I'm not saying Lebby's offense is exactly like Heupel's, but they are very, very similar. We saw what Arkansas did to Tennessee and against Nico, right? I think Van Buren is a very good quarterback at State, or has the potential to be a very good quarterback. I don't think he's as good as Nico though. And Nico was in hell against Arkansas for 4 quarters. I think they do the same thing to State here. I think they're able to put the clamps on, and this is like 38-17 Hogs.
Yeah.
Ole Miss fans, Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. And if you sign up today with promo code Talk of Champions, you can get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Trust me, I've played and pitched for them all, but Prize Picks stands above the rest. Honestly, I have no idea why I waited this long. Yes, I cover the Rebels, so I've focused my picks on the MLB playoffs, including home run cash-ins on Mookie Betts and others. It's a blast, easy, and secure. Make your picks in less than 60 minutes with Prize Picks, and when they hit, you can get your money as quickly as 15 minutes. Even better, Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy. Think Justin Jefferson will get more than 83.5 yards this week? Yeah, me too. Win real money this football season with Prize Picks. Download the app today and use promo code TALKOFCHAMPIONS to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's Prize Picks and promo code TALKOFCHAMPIONS. Prize Picks, run your game.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I was eyeing this one. I'm going to go ahead and grab it. I'm going to take Florida State, Miami under 54.5. This is going to be just a crock pot. I mean, Miami's better, and Florida State's just not going to be able to score enough.
The only thing that would scare me is if Miami like beat them 63-0.
That's what I was thinking. It's like, what if the Canes go in on them? It feels like it's been a while since Miami's beaten Florida State. How long has it been? Do y'all know off the top of your head?
Oh, wow. 3 years.
I don't know. Three? Feels longer than that. Okay.
Yeah, it does.
I think Miami might be in like preservation mode a little bit, where you got to protect Cam Ward. You're undefeated still. They dodged. I mean, how many bullets has Miami dodged at this point?
Yeah, a lot. Every week the ACC is. Yeah.
Yeah, you need to get up 4 scores and just kind of chill.
Y'all know how many yards Duke had last week in their win against Florida State?
Oh, Jesus,
152. 180.
180
total
Jeez.
Yards.
Talk about them. No.
That's incredible.
All right. But,
okay, tough scene for a lot of people out there. National podcast.
This is what I looked at as a game I thought about taking. I thought about taking Miami, and then I kind of almost went the other way. All right. Hear me out. Florida State, bad football team. Only one win over Cal. Cal had some chances late.
That was close.
Bad football team. Yeah, it was no offense whatsoever. But they're playing a little bit better defensively. Give up 29 points to Clemson. Give up 20 to Duke last week. I think they had one or two turnovers. I don't think that they're winning this game. What's the spread?
21.
This seems like the classic game where Florida State's down and out. It's their final biggest game of the year. And I kind of think they're going to cover the spread. I almost locked it in just because they've only not covered 21. That sounds terrible to say for Florida State. But they've only not covered 21 one time this year, right? They covered it against Clemson. They even covered it. They covered it against Georgia Tech, Boston College. They covered it all season long against everyone but SMU in just kind of a weird week. This is their Super Bowl, so to say. I think if they're covering another game this year, it's this game. I kind of think Florida State's covering. I don't kind of think it. I'm very close to locking it in.
Sounds like you're talking yourself into it.
I mean, I'm right there, man. I just like they're not going to lose by 30 every week, right? They're not going what 1-11.
They just lost to Duke.
They do suck. Duke, not terrible. Duke 6-1. Manny Diaz.
You got to.
And Duke does that.
They're going to be playing against the refs too. Miami's
no, that's true.
Protected all the way.
But the refs don't need them to win by 22. The refs just need them to win, right? And what is Miami? What has Miami done a ton of this year? Looked really average against average teams, right? They struggled with Virginia Tech. They struggled with Cal. They beat Louisville last week, okay, but they had a touchdown call back for Louisville that probably would have changed the course of the game. I just don't know that. I mean, when was the last time they won by 21 points? It was against South Florida. I mean, they haven't beaten any decent teams. I guess they did beat Florida by 24.
I was about to say. Tell me
8 weeks ago.
I was about to say. Tell me why this is not an exact replica of Miami's game against Florida in week one or two, whenever that was.
I'm with you. Week one stuff. That's all I can say. That's all I can say to that. It's week one things. I'm with you. I think this is Florida State Super Bowl. That's all I'm gonna say. Also, by the way, looking at Duke's scores, they've won 5 games this year scoring in the 20s, which is just incredible, really.
Yeah.
That's psycho shit.
All right, I've got a lock.
Go ahead.
Let's go to Tuscaloosa. We're going to lay 16.5 with the Crimson Tide.
Okay. Okay.
They can't lose again. They're not going to make the playoff with a loss to Vanderbilt, but they really can't lose again. And I don't think that Missouri's quarterback's going to play.
Yeah, nor their running back.
I don't think Brady Cook's playing. They said he's been all week.
This may be a off the – this. You may not be able to find this game if that's the case. But 16.5.
I think Drink is being cute about that, though.
You think?
Yeah.
But the running back's out, isn't he?
The running back is out, yeah. But, yeah. I mean, y'all probably know, Cook came back against Auburn. He came back and finished the game.
He left the game, went to the hospital.
Yeah.
Now, I was told it is across the street from the stadium.
It is across the street, yeah. It's right. They share a parking lot. But
Went to a room in a hospital.
Healthcare facility.
And then came back and beat Auburn.
We're just shitting all over HIPAA.
Yeah,
just destroyed.
You really hate to fucking see it.
So I think, and so I cruised Mizzou's message board earlier, which they have one, believe it or not, and just looking for info on Cook. Their mods think he's playing. They think he's in.
Yeah, like he's
– I'm still going to lay 16.5.
Tell me
I'm not trying to talk you out of it. I think he's – I would not make the bet depending on his absence.
Yeah.
That way.
I mean, it'll take one hit from Jihad Campbell and he'll be done.
I agree with you. Tell me why the play isn't under 52 in this game. Bama's defense is pretty good. Missouri doesn't score a lot of points, but they also don't allow a lot of points. And Milroe is kind of downright bad when he has pass the ball.
He has the problem that I've got with Missouri is Connor Wegman looked like Peyton Manning against them.
Yeah, yeah. So true. Two things there to Nick's point. One, there are also rumors that Milroe is hurt. That he has a banged up shoulder. So that
I think Ty Simpson is he back up? Time.
Makes just let a nurse under. Know.
The other thing is Mizzou, their plays per game, it's crazy. They only allow opponents 58 plays per game on average or something. They're like a service academy on that side, but it's crazy. They used to be really up tempo with Drink, and suddenly they're throwing things in neutral themselves. Reminiscent of what's going on in Oxford a little bit, but I under is really attractive. Two banged up quarterbacks,
And college football games last 7 years, two ranked teams, the home team is a double digit favorite. The under is 70% of the time.
Damn,
they'll suffocate them.
24-0 final, 24-3 final.
Yeah,
all right, y'all talk me into it. Let me lock in under there.
30-13 gets under easy, and it's never a close game.
What is the total?
I see a bunch of them. So I'm gonna because I know it's been. I see 51 and 53. I don't think it's fair to take 53. I don't think it's fair to take the lowest either. So I'm just going to take a middle 52 because I'm seeing a bunch, and I know that the line's probably been moving based on the quarterback. So I figure it's fair to take the middle number there.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
How bad is Stanford?
That's a great segue, Ben, because I'm laying the
That's my next one.
You going to join me?
Zach, this is an absolute trap game. The most trap game you've ever seen. Wake Forest going across the country. Stanford, they beat Syracuse, who I think Wake Forest, they struggle with Stanford. They don't play Syracuse, excuse me. Stanford's awful. There's no reason this line is as small as it is, because not that I think Wake Forest is very good. Total trap line, having to go across the country. However, Stanford is terrible. Like,
yeah,
just can't beat anybody. Can't score. Yeah. Their last four games, they scored 14, 7, 7, and 10. They're terrible. This is a trap game. I'm walking right into it. I got to.
There is a 2.5.
But yeah. None. Yeah. Lock me in for that, too.
Yeah. Dude, everything you said is correct. Like, handicap wise, yes. But like, Stanford sucks.
Never sucks. They suck. Yeah. I mean, they got destroyed last week against SMU. And I know we've seen the stuff about teams going cross country. That worries me. I'm just going to walk into the trap. That's fine.
Is Wake, like, on the quarter system? Like, they might just be off for something, and they might just get out there early and get acclimated.
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird travel spot for them. Weren't they in Connecticut last week?
They were. And, again, it screams not – that's why it's such a small number. It's a trap line. Mm. But, like, again, somebody's got to fall for it.
I've got another one.
All right.
Indiana Hoosiers -6.5 against Washington.
How's this not unanimous? Yeah, I'm in on that too.
I went against them last week.
And I did too.
And that was a mistake. They beat Nebraska to death.
God, how is it so low?
And I don't know. You want to talk about a trap line. And Washington is a long way from Indiana. Like, mm-hmm. It's not as far as it is from Mississippi. Washington, it is so far to get out there. Mm-hmm. And so they've got to come several time zones to, I think Indiana's in the Eastern time zone.
I'm not positive. But.
Yeah. They don't do daylight savings. I don't know what that means.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That we're getting way too scientific here. Yeah. But Washington, they don't have a good win on their season. They beat Michigan by 10. Their other wins are like Weber State.
But Michigan sucks.
That's right. So right. That's not even really a good win. They beat Northwestern, who's bad. Washington lost to Rutgers. Mm-hmm. They lost to Iowa by like a million points last week. And they're not going to beat a Sig Natty coach team. Like, this is not a
no. Sig.
Sig, you get me under a touchdown at home? Hoosiers.
And just so everybody knows, Indiana's starting quarterback is out, but he was knocked out last week. The backup played in the third quarter against Nebraska, and I think threw for two touchdowns.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, it doesn't really matter at this point who's playing quarterback for Indiana. I trust Sig Natty. I got in front of the train last week, and they absolutely blew us out of the water, but I'm not going to fade Indiana again.
All right.
They've come across the U.S. twice. They lost to Rutgers in Iowa. Washington has.
I'm telling you, it's too far. Like, it is so far to there. All right. Consider this. You're an Ole Miss fan, all right, and like we all are, and you open up a season against Weber State and you win 35-3, right? You're like, oh, well, ho-hum, whatever, Weber State, however you want to call it. Then you play Eastern Michigan and win 30-9. At this point, I'm worried. I'm like, okay, 30 points against Eastern Michigan. It's like, oh, well, maybe they're nobody. And then you lose to Washington State.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, like, they don't even have a conference. What are we doing? You know, that I just think Washington's overrated. This is not a – Indiana's going to take our playoff spot if we went out.
That's our college game day. So, like,
yeah,
you know, the players are not picking, you know, putting on headgear or anything. but they're aware of how big of a deal it is. It's a touchdown. For sure. Ask them to cover 14. I like that. Yeah. Love that. I may come back to it.
All right.
They haven't even played a close game this year.
No, they just beat the shit out of people.
I'm just going to go ahead and do it. First money line on the board, Navy plus 390.
Yes.
I just, dude.
Why?
What?
Well, I mean, do you think they can win, really? Or you just, it's just a big number. You got to take it. Awesome. are you want to lock in Navy or something?
I'm really liking the points, the 13.
Navy money line. This is a crazy. This is sicko stuff.
I'm going total opposite. No, you've
Notre Dame. Notre Dame's just not. They're not great. And Navy, dude. Like, I don't care. You play them every year, whatever. When a triple option team is running it well, like it sucks to play against. And Navy is about as good of a machine as there is in college football right now. Plus 390, it's a good looking number for a money line pick, but also like would y'all be shocked if Navy beat Notre Dame?
Not at all.
No.
Yeah. So
I just don't think you can trust – you just can't trust Notre Dame and Marcus Freeman laying double digits against a competent team. Navy's competent. Like, no, they haven't. Their level of competition has not been great outside of Memphis. But, oh, by the way, remember what they did to Memphis? Well, they put 50 on them? Like,
they scored a lot.
Yeah. They're not going to put 50 on Notre Dame. But I do think Navy's offense has some wrinkles that Notre Dame has not seen, not only from – like this year, but even from past Navy teams. Like, it's not just a straight up standard traditional triple. Like, Mercer's old head coach is now Navy's offensive coordinator. They're chucking the ball downfield. They're taking some opportunities when they get them. And they're just super efficient. I mean, the quarterback like leads the country in QBR, doesn't he? Or something crazy. Like, it's wild.
Mm-hmm. Also, you know, dare we forget that Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois.
They did. The offense is not tremendous.
Yeah.
I mean, so give me the points. I want the 13. Zach can have the money line. I want the 13 for insurance. But I think Navy hangs here. It's a neutral field too, right?
It's in Meadowlands. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. Maybe we can get a little arbitrage. I'm going to – let's call it 13. I see it at 12.5, but that's juice. So we'll say 13. I think, and this is, you guys know that I love taking, you know, points, or I love taking unders or whatever with the service academies. I think that people are misidentifying Navy and Army a little bit. I think Army is the really good service academy. I think the Navy is a good service academy. They're not Army. I think Army is going to beat them later in the year. I think they're better. I think Navy is a pretty good team. I think Navy, when you're in hell, if you're up against Navy and you can't stop the option, because they will run it down your throat. I mean, I've said that pretty much on every show. If you can't stop that, they don't know how to stop it either. They'll just continue doing it. They'll score 50 on you. I think that Notre Dame, when they go up against teams that are more talented than them, nothing bogs down quicker than a triple option offense. And like you said, I know they've got some more wrinkles to it and stuff, but it's still Naval Academy football players. Notre Dame's fifth in yards per play on the season. I think this is going to be a trouncing. I'm thinking, I know that sounds crazy, it's a ranked team and stuff, but I'm thinking it's going to be, again, when they run up against a team with more, with better talent, I just think they're going to get bogged down. I'm thinking like a 28-7 or something like that. I think it's going to be a whipping. I really don't foresee Navy doing much. I could see them getting 3 or 6 points, truly. I don't foresee it being all that close. And Navy, or excuse me, Notre Dame could score in the 30s. Right. So I'm taking the minus 13. I'm laying them. If this is Army, ball game.
They do play Army later, right? Does Notre Dame play Army?
Yeah, they're a little round robin. They got the Commander and Leprechaun trophy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've got a sucker bet here that I'd like to play. BYU plus 2.5 at Central Florida. What is this? Like, love BYU is 7-0. UCF is 3-4.
I'm be opposite you on this one.
Yeah.
Tell me why, Austin. I'm curious.
Ole Miss needs UCF to win, so I hope they do, but I can't figure this out.
I got a few reasons. Here's the biggest, and y'all are not gonna like the reason, but the main reason is just the line. I think tells the story. Like, this is not a line that is set to attract outside interest. Like, casuals are not betting BYU UCF, right? So if this is the number, this is what the market actually thinks of the game. Like, this is not, I don't think this is market influenced by like giant fan bases, which I know BYU has one, but they're the dog here. Like, why is UCF favored? And by the way, BYU opened as the fave. It flipped to UCF the fave by Wednesday. That's real money on UCF. It feels like somebody knows something. All right. I'll also say, I think Gus found his quarterback. They struggled earlier in the year with KJ, who is like out of shape and just not really motivated. Last week, UCF deserved to win. They should have won outright on the road at Iowa State. They dropped the ball running in. They had a pick six, basically, or a punt return or something. The guy drops the ball at the one running into the end zone, the old DeSean Jackson deal, and they end up losing on the road at Iowa State. I don't think BYU is going to run the table. They're undefeated right now, right? They're not going to run the table. So where are their losses? The whole thing feels weird. I think BYU is a better football team, but they're traveling down to Orlando. It's going to be a little warm, a little humid for guys coming from altitude who are undefeated and due for a loss. I think coaching advantage UCF, better athletes, short number, line stinks. Give me the home team.
Line smells terribly.
It's good, yeah, though, because all the Mormons that go down there can just go to Disney after.
And yeah.
It'll be okay.
You know what this reminds me of? Do y'all remember this? About this time of year, last year, Oklahoma State went to Central Florida, and they were like 2-point favorites or something. Ollie Gordon was going crazy. They were surging, and everybody was like, how the hell is this line so short? And UCF blew out Oklahoma State. Now, that's not predictive of how this game will go. It just reminds me of a similar situation last year.
I hope you're right.
But you're taking BYU as insurance?
Yeah, I need to take BYU, but I hope you're right because we need BYU to lose.
Mm-hmm. And ISU, which I guess they're on a bye, right?
Yeah, I don't know how they squirted out of that one. I guess I quit paying attention when they were down like 10 points in the second half. Next thing I know, they won, not even in overtime. They just won in regulation.
Went for two in regulation.
Yeah.
All
right, I'm going to take the money line. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, I need to go looking for some money lines. I'm going to take Duke. I know we mentioned that earlier, and they don't give up a ton of points. They're playing SMU, who early in the year I was not like super keen on, and then they just went out and laid an egg. I guess it was TCU that I was not keen on, and SMU went and whipped them. I still don't think that this SMU team, the offense is good. I think the defense, Duke's really good, and they're gonna muck games up. The game's in Durham, right?
Yeah.
I'm getting 12 points. I think that's the last line I saw. I want to double check that. 12 points. I just, Duke's offense, there's a, yeah, the tool is just 12 because the 12 and a half's juiced a little bit. I don't know. I think Duke's defense is really good. You know, they're playing at home, they're 6-1. Not that they're like gonna make the college football playoff or anything, but I mean they very easily could be 9-3, 10-2, just kind of glancing over their schedule. So, yeah, Duke's got – matter of fact, Duke has Miami next week. Okay, tough game. NC State's terrible. Virginia Tech I don't think is very, very good. Wake Forest is I don't think very good either. If they win this game or were to somehow upset SMU, I mean, they're staring at 10-2. So,
the other thing I like about this from a Duke standpoint, SMU was out at Stanford last weekend. They come back to SMU and now they're going to the other – yeah, that's tough travel, man.
Yeah, and the game's at 8 o'clock, and that's tough travel you mentioned.
All right, Duke money line plus 355.
Yes,
that's fun. That's a fun one. Also, it'd just be nice to see SMU lose to Duke. You know,
yeah, it's a good pick.
Yeah, if anybody can out snob SMU, it's Duke.
Right.
So wait, Nick, are you taking plus 12?
Yeah, Duke 12. Yeah, Duke plus 12.
Or you can get a 12 and a half.
Yeah, but it's juiced. I don't want to be. I don't want Ben to get upset.
I'm not. Go ahead. Do whatever. I'm taking BC money line plus 240 or 50 against Louisville. They're 7.5 point dogs at home. Louisville took a bad loss to Miami, or I say a bad loss,
a tough loss.
Boston College did get hammered by, I think, Virginia Tech.
Dude, that first quarter doomed them.
Yeah. But it's not as bad as I was about to say. It's not as bad as the score looked. They're catching them at home. I think Boston College, you know, we talk about this with Ole Miss a lot. Different teams have different expectations. I think it's going to be easier to keep Boston College up than Louisville, who I think in their mind we're like, oh, well, we can be a two-loss playoff team if we beat Miami. And you just can't get up like that 2 weeks in a row. This is going to be sleepy for them. So I will do the money line. I think it's plus 250. I think.
Yeah, I see the highs. I see is 240, but yeah.
Yeah, 240. There you go. Whatever. Nick's you see how pedantic he is to me?
Look, I'm on the website. Do you want the number or not?
Yeah, 240 is fine.
All right, I'll throw out another money line if you guys don't mind. I'm going to take UNLV. This is super late, 9:30 central kick on Friday night. So, I mean, this is one you got to stay up for. Heck, we play football in like 10 hours after this game finishes probably. But UNLV is getting 3, I think, at home. Mm-hmm. And Boise State, good team. Ashton Genty, best running back in a couple of decades probably in college football. The guy's insane. But, I mean, UNLV is also very good. The defense is pretty decent. I think they're going to slow them down. I don't know that they're going to win, but it's at home. And 90%, I'm seeing here, 90% of the handle and the bets have been on Boise State, and the line hasn't moved a ton. So they really don't want to move off that number if they don't have to. So I'm getting 140 for UNLV.
The go-go offense, baby.
Yeah, I like that. It feels like a coin flip. Might as well take plus money. All right, I've got one. Michigan State plus 4 at Michigan. I think these are two ships passing in the night. Like Michigan State is surging. Michigan is fading quickly. Yeah. I think Jonathan Smith's a better coach in the game. I think he's got the better quarterback in the game. I know Michigan is far superior on defense, but give me the better coach and the better quarterback. I don't really care where the game is, and I'm getting 4 points. Give me Sparty.
You know what else is interesting is, like, we talked about this on a couple of shows. If Michigan is going to move on, they better do it quick to get somebody like Cignetti. Otherwise, let me walk that back. If Auburn wants to make a coaching change, they better do it now, because the way this speed that Michigan is crashing, that guy's not going to make it past next year.
He'll be in the market. They'll be in the market next year. Yeah.
Yeah.
And guess what? Spoiler alert, Michigan's a better job than Auburn.
Yes.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's a top 5 job in the country.
Yeah. I was being facetious, but yeah. And that's a good pick, Austin, because this game is typically kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like outside of Harbaugh and that machine the last couple of years, like there's always something weird that happens in this one.
And there's also a really like interesting big brother, little brother dynamic in that Michigan obviously views Ohio State as their much bigger rival. That's a much more important game. But for Michigan State, this game is just as big as Michigan is against Ohio State. Like Michigan State wants this one more than any other game on their schedule. They always do.
All right. I got a twofer right here for you. Taking two favorites, one at home, one on the road. Taking the Aggies, taking A&M. Brian Kelly at LSU, 4-6 against ranked teams, 1-6 on the road. Even weirder, when LSU and A&M are ranked, both ranked in the game, LSU is 8-0.
Taking A&M. Need to win?
I kind of think A&M's actually pretty good.
I'm afraid LSU might be too.
The LSU. We'll also, Nussmeier, we don't have to get on here, but he's had a really good presence in the pocket. You know, his, like, he's quick, not in running, but he's quick in escaping pressure and stepping up in the pocket when he needs to. And I mean, I don't know a ton about Texas A&M, but that's gone on too long for me not to see. He must just be good at it. It must not be a, you know,
if A&M wins Alabama, like, that's how we get to a bunch of 10-2 teams potentially.
If who wins, A&M?
A&M. Mm-hmm.
Well, and with the line being just 2.5, I mean, you're basically, you know, kind of just asking me to pick who I think wins.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Because if A&M wins, they'd be Texas, maybe their only other loss. They'd be 10-2. And then LSU really is playing Alabama left. And so they would already have two losses. Let's say they beat Alabama. Now A&M has two, LSU has two, Alabama has two, potentially Ole Miss has two.
They would have – that would be a knockout game if LSU and A&M each have two, though. But I see what you're saying.
Wait. Go ahead.
Didn't you say in this scenario LSU loses to A&M?
If A&M beats LSU, they have two losses.
Right. Then Alabama and LSU are playing a knockout game, basically.
What is that? Bama already has two. You're right.
Everything else you said is right. In my head,
Bama had one loss. You're right.
In my head, Bama beat Tennessee because I thought it was happening.
Tennessee wasn't doing anything. But then you knocked Bama out. So now it's
– Yeah.
Okay. So then we're fine. Either way, this game doesn't really matter.
I think either way is probably okay. I mean, I don't think one way is like significantly better. Like, to me, last week, Georgia winning was hurtful because now they're – in a great spot, and we had a chance to be the dagger. I don't think this game has like a dagger really for either team.
I just want to get some of these teams to three losses. So LSU's got one loss. If they take another here, then they're one away from three. A&M's got one loss. If they take another, so it's a wash here. But like, it'd be great if Missouri could go to Alabama and win, mm-hmm. and go ahead and knock them out.
Mm-hmm. My other lock road favorite, I'm taking Penn State -6.5 at Wisconsin.
Love that one.
I think Penn State, like you were talking about, you know, maybe A&M is really good. Maybe Penn State's really good. Went to LA, beat SC. Also, Wisconsin has scored 21 or fewer points in 3 of the last 5 meetings with Penn State. Mm. 20 points combined in the past 2 games.
They've been beating up cupcakes. Wisconsin has.
They're 5-2, but not really beating anybody. It's a night game at Camp Randall. This seems like the moment when James Franklin can kind of get a big one. That's not, you know, technically a big one, but it's a road game at Camp Randall. I think Penn State handles it. They could win by 10, 13 points.
And we know from personal experience what Phil Longo does in these games. Against comparable or better competition, they're going to score like 9 points.
Yeah, and like Longo can kind of cook when he has a quarterback. And, Braden Locke is not good.
They don't have receivers either, Wisconsin.
No. And, Fickell, man, what a weird turn his career has taken.
Wisconsin is not a culture that is conducive to running the spread offense.
No. All right, I got one. The team that everybody loves to hate, and for good reason, and it's suddenly surging, and nobody really talks about them. Like, we talked about them when they didn't deserve to be talked about, and now that they're actually winning football games, nobody's talking about Colorado anymore. Give me the Buffs laying 5.5 at home to Cincinnati. I think Colorado's just a better team. Like, their defense is suddenly competent. Shadur has continued to play well. I think they're a little healthier than they were a few weeks ago. At Cincinnati going to altitude, elevation, I don't think Cincinnati's very good in general. So.
I'm riding with Austin.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a Folsom gets kind of lit.
Dude, well, look, Colorado's not out of the Big 12 race yet.
No.
They could still win that conference.
And I don't think Cincinnati's good enough for it to be a game that Deion loses.
No.
All right, Nick, you got another one, maybe one or two more? Because I think.
Yeah, I've got another one here. Let me pull it back up. I like the over, and this is the big one everyone's going to be watching at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning. The over in Buffalo, Ohio. Got it at 44.5. Let me double check, make sure that's good. That's a barn burner. I acknowledge that 44.5. Just looking at Ohio's averaging like 27 points a game. Buffalo's averaging 31 points a game in MAC play. I mean, Both of those numbers combined are significantly over 44.5. I just kind of think it's going to be back and forth. It's a pretty low total, and the public is big on over here. So I'm going to have to side with the public. Public doesn't lose every time. So
no, they don't.
Did y'all know that Ole Miss money line, okay, is minus?
Was it 1300?
As high as minus 1800.
I really considered Oklahoma plus 900. I just don't think we're going to lose, but that is a huge number.
That is a big number.
1800 is as big of a money line in conference play.
In conference? Yeah.
That's a Vanderbilt money line.
I think Texas is 1850, by the way, over Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Like,
that's what I'm saying. That's a Vanderbilt money line. Yes. That's crazy. The value there is Oklahoma money line. I mean,
yeah.
Put $10 on it, make 90. If they win, if you lose, you lose 10. But you'd have to bet 1800 to win $100 on Ole Miss. No thanks.
All right.
They must be way worse than I'm realizing.
See, I don't think they are. I think they've had some tough things go against them. Injuries, turnovers. We win, but they're not terrible.
Well, the one thing that I keep coming back to is they had every reason in the world to play hard, still believe, all that kind of stuff when Tennessee came to town, and they couldn't cross the 50.
Yeah.
Like Tennessee suffocated them.
Yeah.
All right, I got a couple money line dart throws. One, Temple goes to East Carolina, who just fired their head coach. I have no idea who the interim is. I don't think it matters. Temple plus 221. Why
does
not?
Temple won a game?
Yeah, they won last week. As a did they beat? I don't put some respect on the Owls' name.
Yeah, that's my fault. That's my fault. Oh, they beat. They beat Utah. Oh gosh, they beat Utah State. This is the worst.
Yeah.
Two teams in college football playing last week. That was a few weeks ago. They beat Tulsa last week. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Tulsa. There you go.
They've got two wins. Look at them.
About to have three after Saturday.
Look at the Owls, baby.
So East Carolina, right. Isn't it odd to fire Mike Houston? I'm sorry, this is off topic. They're only 3-4.
I like the cover three theory about this. Tom Fornelli, basically they fired him so that he wouldn't get bowl eligible, right? Like, because they've got winnable games left on the schedule. So this
just
is
to
like
be safe. He didn't save his job. Yeah. Okay.
We're pulling the ripcord and get him out of there. Yeah.
They've got Tulsa.
I mean, when you have the opportunity to make a bowl game at East Carolina, you gotta, what are we doing?
You gotta make sure you don't.
The purpose of the sport is to play the game. Like, it kills me when people are like, well,
What are their expectations at ECU?
We had Ole Miss fans like, do we really want to win the national title? We may keep Bianco. It's like, yes.
Of course.
What was your other one that got you distracted?
No, you're good. Second one is Maryland goes to Minnesota. They're plus 155. Maryland's playing pretty good football right now. And who the hell is Minnesota to be laying 4? I just like the value. Plus 155. I think that implied probability is off there. I think Maryland might be the better football team.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a battle of both teams who've beaten USC this year?
It is. What are they playing for? Is this the Axe? Is this the Axe game? No, that's Minnesota and Michigan, right?
That's to say, if Minnesota and Maryland have a rivalry trophy.
It's a crab with an axe. It's a crab with an axe.
It's like the civil conflict.
I mean, look, they're both Big Ten rivals now.
They're not even the furthest apart Big Ten teams anymore. They're not by
a long close. No, they're they're neighbors compared to some of the Big Ten. Right.
I don't have any other Ben. If you have a second money line,
I'll take one of them.
Hang on. If nobody else is going to do – no, y'all have completely missed it. Like, we're this far in and haven't even talked about it yet. I'll put it on the board. Vanderbilt +637. Vandy +637. Money.
There's no. This is the, what. This is Arkansas. Lightning's not striking twice. Arkansas upset Tennessee, and then they played LSU and curb stomp.
Vandy beats both Texas and Alabama the same year. They are going to.
They win the national championship. That should just be the rule. Maybe like if Vandy does that, they get the trophy.
Maybe their students will just riot and loot and burn Broadway.
Can you imagine how many Texas fans are going to be in Nashville? Oh my gosh.
I don't even want to.
So they're 8-3 all the time against Vanderbilt, and I'm sure y'all have seen that on Twitter. But y'all realize how long we're going to be able to see the stat that Vanderbilt has a winning? It's going to be like 30 years until we finally see Texas overtake them 9-8. Or if Vanderbilt gets a win somehow, it's going to be like 40 years. They're just not playing often. So we're going to be able to see that stat in like 2060 on whatever website.
Vandy is 8-3 against Texas?
Vandy's 8-3 and 1. There's a tie in there. I think they're all – the last time they played was in 43, like when we were playing in D-Day.
I mean, is Diego Pavia the best quarterback Texas has faced this year?
Is he the best quarterback in the SEC?
People are asking.
Will he be the best quarterback on the field Saturday?
Yes.
Will the best quarterback on the field be off the field Saturday?
Over Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning? Yes. Diego Pavia is better than they are.
Clark Lee, the better coach on Saturday.
Jerry Kill is.
Hell yeah.
I mean, it's no disrespect to Ewers and Manning. They're just not the college quarterback that Pavia is right now.
We're talking shit and joking. There is a path for Vandy here. They are basically a service academy. They're going to possess the ball, keep it away from Texas. If they're really efficient in their drives, maybe get a couple turnovers.
And we're going to have body blow theory. Texas took it on the chin.
Yes,
they did. What if Vanderbilt throws it again and they throw it in the water again? Like that's how they march the Mississippi.
If Vanderbilt wins, I will get at my that point, it's like, drive to Nashville and help them tear the goalpost down.
I hope they just take the goalpost and just throw it through the windows at Kid Rock's bar. Dude, Vandy's basically done what I've asked them to do for years. They're just running the triple.
Yes, the triple, Yeah, unofficially, they're running the triple.
All right, Ben, what's your final money line?
All right.
Do you want Oklahoma?
If you pick Oklahoma, you're kicked off the show.
No, I'm not picking Oklahoma.
You don't have to pick a second one if you don't want to.
I'm going to do something. I wasn't going to do anything this crazy, but I might as well. I was going to pick Oklahoma State at Baylor. They're +7.5.
I don't hate that.
But that's just a 2-10, and nobody. That's not any fun.
That's not any fun.
We're up.
Either, by the way, boat racing Texas Tech last week. What the fuck was that?
Yeah, that was what happened.
I
don't really understand that whole trial, Brent.
And they beat them by 60.
Dude, Michael Trigg was making plays everywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, do not play this. This is as bad as what Austin said. Okay, do not play this. This is worse. I'm gonna go the Fighting Burt Belemers at Oregon +1,050.
They're not scoring. Oregon's defense is good. I hope you're right though. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, +1,050. They're 21.5.
Don't sleep on Luke Altmyer.
They're 21.5 point dogs.
What that means is if you bet $100, you lose $100.
Yeah, that's right.
and Rebel Great, what's his name? Franklin, wide receiver at Illinois?
Zachary Franklin. He's going to win.
Yeah, Rebel Great Zachary Franklin.
Illinois, like, surprisingly handled Michigan last week, even though Michigan sucks. I mean, they handled it.
If I had taken a shot of Malort every time I saw somebody say, well, Luke Altmyer just stayed, I would have been in the hospital. My stomach would have been pumped.
Yeah.
Like, everybody relax. So, wait.
If he wins this week, you're going to hear me say, if Luke Altmyer just stayed.
I kind of want to bet $20 now on Illinois just to win.
If Luke Altmyer goes to Autzen Stadium and wins, Phil Knight better have him a goddamn NIL deal.
If Luke Altmyer goes to Autzen and wins, he seriously may get on the Heisman watch list.
I mean, what is – are these – how many losses do they have?
Just one. Like,
I mean, they're – if – again, still, we're talking about if the they win at Autzen, which they're not, they're in the playoff, yeah.
You want to talk about an answer that nobody on this show has, but I just thought of this. Does anybody know where Will Compton and Taylor Lewan are going this weekend for a game? Because the last two road trips they've done, they're huge wins. They were at Oregon, Ohio State, and then they were at Tennessee, Bama last week.
Maybe they'll be in Nashville.
That'd be a short drive for them. They're right down the road. I wonder where they're going.
It's not a great slate this week for stuff like that.
But it feels like they're doing a trip every weekend.
Even if Illinois loses Saturday and wins out, hear me out. Their losses are to Oregon and Penn State. Is their resume better than ours?
If Ole Miss wins out, Georgia wins better.
Yeah, that's true, because they don't have a great win.
Okay. Georgia has – oh, they don't have two losses at that point. That's right.
Texas. I did see that Will Compton has a bet with Taylor Lewan that if Vandy wins the SEC, Taylor Lewan has to take Vandy's offensive line on an all-expenses-paid trip to Vegas.
I think he's safe.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be okay.
No trip insurance on that one.
If anybody can do it, Taylor Lewan. Now I want to know.
I'm tapped out.
Yeah, I think we got it covered. I'll run through it real quick. We had some listeners that were asking for us to do that, so I'll do it for them. We appreciate everybody tuning in every week. All right, we've got Mizzou, Alabama, under 52, Indiana plus minus 6.5, Navy plus 13.5, UCF minus 2.5, Michigan State plus 4, Colorado minus 5, Vandy Moneyline plus 637. Maryland Moneyline plus 155. Austin, what was your other money line that you had?
Temple,
what was it?
I found it.
At 122.
Keep going. We can circle back to it.
We got Arkansas minus 6.5. We've got Alabama.
225 on Temple.
16.5. BYU plus 2.5. BC Moneyline 240. Notre Dame minus 13. Ole Miss, Oklahoma under 49. Wake Forest minus 2.5. Duke plus 12. Buffalo, Ohio over 44.5. UNLV Moneyline plus 140. Georgia Tech Moneyline plus 310. We've got Ole Miss minus 20. Florida State, Miami under 54.5, Wake Forest minus 2.5, A&M minus 2.5, Penn State minus 6.5, Kansas State minus 9.5. That's my last one that I'm throwing in there. Kansas is just pathetic. Dude, they are terrible. So yeah, I'm laying them. Avery Johnson's going to have a field day. And then Navy money line plus 390 and Duke money line plus 355. So there we go. Week 9 season tally right now. The Legal Gambling Council is 108-82 against the spread. Seems pretty good. Units on the year up 11.57. So yeah, it's been a pretty good year.
We had a bad week last week, but.
We've been touch and go in spots, but we've been pretty good the last couple of years of really mitigating the damage back-to-back weeks. So
we're really only down two units last week.
Yeah, I was going to say, we hovered around 500, didn't we, last week?
Yeah, Zach had Georgia Southern plus 285, and that money line, like, that'll make up some losses. I mean, that's nearly three losses. And we were only a game below 500. It's been a, I don't know, 182 is about, what, 59% or so, and I think you need to be 56% to be ahead. It's been a pretty good year. I mean,
52%. You need to be 52%. So we're –
52%.
Yeah, we're well above water.
We're 108 divided by 190.
And we
57%. So doing great.
Dude, we were the boat was taken on water in week four.
Mm-hmm.
44 and 47. And then we get to 54 and 58. And then we just completely flip it and go 84 and 67.
And week 30 six, and 9 that week.
Week six was insane.
We got more data.
We locked in when Ole Miss went to South Carolina and locked in on their offense. We locked in.
We adjusted our models. The algorithm kicked in.
We had plenty of beta. The R&D team was really working overtime. Yeah, that week right there completely flipped.
Lots of synergy. Lots of synergy.
All the buzzwords.
We'll circle back next week and talk about it again.
Yep. So, yeah, that'll do it. Shout out Home Field Apparel, College Corner, Roback, Drew Moak, USA Benefits Group, the rest of the sponsors that make this show possible. Stay locked in, omspirit.com. Tons and tons of recruiting content. Big visit weekend for the Rebs. 30 to 40 plus prospects. Probably by the time Saturday rolls around, probably in the 50s with some unofficial guys rolling in. Basketball's got a couple official visitors. Sam Funchess, the big 6'10", four-star, will be in town. So, a lot going on. omspirit.com. We will have it all for you as Ole Miss in Oklahoma, 11 a.m. At the Vaught Saturday. So enjoy it. If you're going, be safe. Be nice to the Oklahoma people. I know they are all very excited to come to Oxford. But that'll do it until next week. We out of here.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.